I'm Vince Edwards. I'm a business consultant and capital raise expert. Words are the direct line to the head, the heart, and the soul.
Hi, welcome to the Writer's Rotation Podcast. I'm your host, Kathy Stamps. I love words and writing and people and talking. So I'm talking to people who write all kinds of things in different professions. It's a writer's rotation.
Vince!
Hello, Kathy.
Okay, I've known you 140 years, and I still don't know how to introduce you to people.
Oh,
I always just say, my friend Vince, because you don't have like one word like teacher, preacher, writer, running back. I mean, what's your one or two words?
My one or two words, I am a business consultant.
Business consultant. Okay. Yep. Now do your long one.
my long one, I don't want to make it too long, but I am a business consultant with a niche in helping companies raise capital, raise private investment funds. I have a history, worked for Fortune 500 companies like Procter & Gamble and IBM, became a consultant in the last recession, was a trusted advisor, started helping companies grow, raise money. And that's basically what I've done. And also in the last few years, me and Kathy also worked together on our nonprofit, Empire Builders Foundation, which is to help people with the dream of entrepreneurship that come from marginalized communities and disadvantaged areas. And I think that kind of kicks us off a little bit.
Yes, very much so. So one of the cool things about you, there are many cool things about you. The way you write, you just like, you're a speed writer. I can't do that. You just go, boom. And then you're like, here, can you proofread this? I'm like, how did you write 800 pages in 4 minutes? I mean, that's a little bit.
Yeah, that's a little bit of exaggeration, but I do get what you're saying.
Is this a skill that you have honed or acquired recently, or were you born that way, or what? First grade, what?
No, actually, growing up, I was a great reader, but I wasn't a great writer. But part of that is when we grew up, and I'm not going to say my age or your age, but, we wrote in pen and on pieces of paper and notebooks. And then they taught us how to do cursive writing. And my penmanship never was that great. So I wasn't as attuned to writing back then because it was more of a chore. But as we got into the computer age and, using Word, Microsoft Word, and my first job, they sent me to Cincinnati to the headquarters at Procter & Gamble to learn Word and Excel and actually just how to run Windows, which was funny. You look back at it, but it was like this big thing to go to Cincinnati to learn how to do all this stuff. But once I got good with Word over the years, what happened was really when I started my own companies and stuff, and I got in a rush to develop materials, I had a friend of mine that I was partnering with one business that he ended up being a great editor, but he was a terrible writer to get started. He's what I call a perfectionist. So, but what I learned, all of a sudden it hit me, was that I could churn out first drafts really quick. I got good at just like emptying the head. I would just empty my thoughts into the paper and get everything out. And I finally, I had to let the hands go on editing at times because we want to edit right as we write. And what I learned was that the more I was able to do that, I got a little better at it, to where, at least from a business writing perspective, I was really able to get a lot of stuff out. And then it's always easy to find somebody to critique and edit. That's the easy part. People can edit all day.
That's right. But when you are spitting and spewing and getting things out of your head, is it sequential? Is it logical? Is it roundabout?
It really can be any or all of the above. Sometimes it's just sequential based off the subject. My brain is telling me, okay, we're going to do this, 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 this. Other times I'm just getting down things and I have to go back and organize them because I'm just thinking of ideas and things that may be related to the issue. And I'm just kind of getting them all out. Then I'll go back and organize them in a certain order that might make better sense. Or as you make me do all the time, put it in alphabetical order, so that it makes sense to the reader.
Oh, I do love a chronological order or an alpha order. Love me some order on the bullet points. Yes, bullet points should be in some sort of order. You said you were a good reader, or you were a reader when you were a child. Did you get to pick out books from the library? Did you have books at home?
I used to love the public library as a kid. My mom would take me to the public library. And I always remember it had, and it doesn't look so tall now, but it had these big, tall ceilings at our public library. I'm from Owensboro, Kentucky. And if anybody's been there, our old public library, it was kind of like a statuesque building that, but it was cool. And what I loved, whether I was getting magazines to read or books, they had these big old comfy chairs. And I'd go sit in that chair and I could just read. And I just kind of loved the library experience. So that was a big thing. And then I got into, you know, getting different books to read, you know, either for class or, and I read a lot of stuff relating to sports because as a kid, I was big into sports. And, you know, I collected baseball and football and basketball cards. So I would always read different stuff about my favorite players and I'd learn their stats. So all of this stuff kind of aided in me reading and trying to engulf information in a large level.
You know what? Those bubblegum cards, as we used to call them, are a really good example of who, what, when, where, why, and how.
Yeah.
Especially the when and the what. I mean, that's what statistics are all about. So statistics and journalism, very much in common. Very interesting. What did you want to be when you were a little kid?
I want to be a rock star, professional athlete. I wanted to be an actor. I mean, it seemed like, you know, whatever I saw, like everybody else, you know, you'd want to start dreaming of being on stage or doing this or scoring a winning touchdown, making a winning basket, just, you know, learning karate and beating people up. It was just, it was all the things little boys dreamed of back in those days. It was, you know, racing, you know, cars and
trucks.
You know, it was a lot of boy stuff that, you know, more cars and trucks. I was always a speed guy. I liked speed.
And you went to the University of Kentucky. Did you know what your degree was going to be in the beginning?
I had scholarships and I was an engineering major, electrical engineering, but I ended up switching to math and graduated in mathematics. Finished up as a numbers guy pretty much. So that was what went down.
What can you do with a degree in math? I mean, engineering, obviously we know you can be an engineer.
Actually, math is an interesting major. Anything that's, as we know now through STEM, and we talk about not enough, you know, women and minorities in STEM or not enough people are getting interested in the science professions. Well, math's right in the middle of that. So literally, it shows people you have a logical brain and that you can think through some things. So nowadays, math can go lead you into computer science. It can lead you into coding. It can lead you into just about anything. I realized sitting in some office bean counting all day was probably didn't fit my personality. So I ended up getting in corporate America and got into business, which math is a great segue to business as well. You know, what I've learned in life as we get older, that four-year degree really is just a license that you can go try and do just about anything that has that as a minimum requirement. Once you get your degree, whatever you want to go to from there, unless it's a very niche thing that you have very have special education for, any of these bachelor's of arts and science degrees can get you in all kind of other doors if you choose to.
What was your favorite kind of math?
I don't know about kind of math, but what I...
Well, you have your calculus, you have your trig. Those are the only two I know.
As I got further,
algebra.
I liked some of the quantitative math theories. Differential equations was one of the things that changed me a little bit because I actually started learning the theories and then learning that they teach math backwards. What I mean by that is they don't teach you why you do math or how it works. They just teach you the laws of math, teach you how to apply it. So you don't really learn where all the theories and all this come to. You get way up in the discipline.
Mm.
So really, math is one of these real subjects where you're just told rules and said, go perfect these rules.
Mm.
But they didn't tell you where the rules came from. You don't learn that till you get way down the line. So literally, math is just like you learn how to apply it. Then you learn the theory behind it. And then you learn how it ties into what these great people like Albert Einstein and scientists and engineers, you know, the people who actually do the numbers to get you to the moon, how it all works. If you've ever seen the movie Hidden Gems that talk about the ladies,
yes,
those ladies were in the background doing the equations and chomping this out to see the possibilities and using that with statistics and all this math computations to figure out how to get this guy down, how to get this guy up.
Wow. And then let's not even talk about the practical applications of math that were never taught in school, like checkbook, budget.
Yeah.
Income, outgo, all of that.
Yes.
When you're working on your first draft, are you thinking about what you want to say or what the reader needs to hear?
Good question. Both. One of the things I've learned, especially now with AI, is I like to put my personality in my business writing, in my emails. Pretty much, I like my voice to be in my writing, in my words. As a business consultant and working in a lot of different disciplines with different companies, I've learned how to be what I call a translator, which means I want my voice to be kind of somewhat universal so anybody can understand me, but I also want when you read something I write, I kind of want you to kind of, well, that's Vince. That's Vince. That's his email. You would be able to recognize what something I sent you versus somebody who pretended to be me, because you'd be like, he does not talk like that. I know how he talks. So I want to be recognizable in my words as well as in my language, as is when I use the verbal language.
Because it's, yeah, part of your personality. What are you reading these days?
Ooh, that's another good question. The last couple of years, I got into listening more than reading. I like Audible. I read a lot of books on Audible or take in the information on Audible. Not that I don't still enjoy reading the written word, I do. But what I found with the Audible, I can take notes while I listen. And that's one of the things that I love about Audible. I can be hearing a book, but I can be writing down my key notes and thoughts right while I listen. I can rewind it real easy and listen and write down.
Oh, that is good. What are you reading in Audible? Fiction, nonfiction?
Nonfiction. Almost all nonfiction these days.
What's the last fiction you took in?
Oh, last fiction. It might have been a Jackie Collins book or something.
You like the cheap trash novels? I do too.
I have guilty pleasures with novels and movies sometimes. So it was something trashy, I think, pretty sure.
That's awesome.
I love a lot of motivational stuff, biographies, learning about people, how they did what they did, how they accomplished it. Actually, the last couple of books. One was by a guy named Myron Golden, who's a consultant and kind of a motivational speaker. His book was the last book I read that I bought and read.
Are you going to write a book? I think you should write a book.
You know, I think I do want to write a book one day. It would be a great experience. Let me just share, because, sometimes we don't like to share those personal secrets that we keep to ourselves, but I'm going to share one with you because it's just me and you. Nobody will hear this.
That's right.
When I get to a certain level of success with my company and my business, that then I want to write a book about that. That's it, how I got there, what I did, and how I made whatever I did correctly to pass that book down to other people. Not like a true biography, but more of, hey, I did this, you can too. So that I think that'll be probably the first attempt I do at a book, because it would go in line with a lot of other stuff.
Mine would be the opposite. It would be do as I say, not as I did.
Well,
here's what not to do.
It's just as important to learn what not to do as is what to do. Those not to do lessons were real important. Oh, and then we talked a little bit about my writing process. For me, again, I think I'm really good at the first draft. I'm not the best editor. It seems like I got to edit it like three times to get it right. But the good thing is it's easy to find other people to edit. I do like using outlines. If I can come up with a general outline, that will help me with a first draft. Research is very important. So I do like to research my subject, because I always like to seem or be as informed as I can if I'm going to expound on a certain subject matter. I don't have to be the expert, but I need to know enough so that I don't sound like someone who's writing about something they absolutely have no idea what they're writing about. That's a pet peeve of mine. I hate reading something and I know more about the subject. I'm not an expert, but they're not even close to even talking correctly about a subject. That's very frustrating to me.
The posturing.
The posturing and assuming things, but getting wrong.
Mm-hmm.
We got the whole thing now because of politics called fact checkers. And when I'm a reader, I'm a fact checker sometimes because I'm like, that ain't right.
Fact checking is a skill. I mean, it's been around in journalism forever, but you're right. Bringing that up as regular people can, that all of us can be fact-checking almost anything we consume, take in, hear, read. Absolutely. Now, how do you vet your sources when you're doing your research?
Well, in my line of work, typically I've researched online and I've kind of vetted it through more than one source. So usually I take enough time to, it's something, if I look up something, I'm trying to get a definition or trying to figure out how to use something, I'm going to look it up one place. And if it still seems weird, I'll just double check that. So double check the first check and then say, okay, well, I mean, it looks like I got this right. So now I can speak on it. And, I have the proper definition for it. And a lot of times it's not that hard because, a lot of times it's just, it's either you finding the right word or finding the right use of a word or a phrase. And once that you've identified what works, it shouldn't be like you're just constantly second guessing yourself, but you don't want to go out here just slinging words and things that, because words are important, that don't match up with what you're trying to say or does not adequately send the message.
We're reading, we're writing, we're communicating. Let's talk about communication.
One of my strengths that I've been told, and I come to accept it, I think people are telling me correctly, is that I'm a very good communicator. I guess I talk or explain things in a way. I don't talk down at people. That's why I call myself a translator sometimes. Sometimes I can explain things a little better in certain matters than other people can. And so even in my work as a consultant, and especially raising money, because whenever people, if anybody's seen Shark Tank and, you know, people try to do that, that's kind of what I do for companies, is help them, you know, raise capital like that. And I have to be a translator and a matchmaker. So I have to be able to understand and translate somebody's business idea to potential investors so they understand it and get the meaning to look at it and say, oh, this really is something good. But I'm matchmaking investors based off where they like to invest and what they like to invest and what industry or stage. So I'm doing a lot of things there. But, you know, I can talk to people from the smallest counties to somebody from a very urban area very easily, and I adapt very on the fly, on the quickly. That's been a benefit, is being able to communicate appropriately in my line of work. Communication is great from the standpoint of being able, people think translation is just different languages. No, it's information.
And you know what else? Emotion.
And emotion.
You're translating from an emotion to a non-emotion and vice versa.
I agree.
Capitalism and raising capital.
Yes.
Talk about an emotional, you know, capitalism is evil. How do you counter that?
Greed is one of the seven deadly sins. You know, the first thing is to check your own greed and realize, you know, what am I trying to do and what am I going to do to get it, and having a conscience. But then all of us are responsible to keep the corporations in check and to make sure that they're being responsible corporate citizens, as we call it, and that they're not destroying the environment. They're not gouging, you know, everyday people, especially for products that are needed, not wanted, but needed. And to make sure that they're taking some of their money and putting it back into our communities through charitable donations and other factors. So it's up to us to police the corporations as best we can. And we can do that. You know, where we spend our dollar and how we spend our dollar is just as important as the spending of that dollar, because it says a lot and it can make corporations change their whole thing. We all have to do our part to be good citizens, to keep the corporations in line. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with wanting nice things, a nice house, a nice car, nice clothes, take a trip here and there. But, you know, when your greed gets to the point that's all you live for is the almighty dollar, you may want to look in the mirror, because you probably will never be satisfied. If you're that greedy, you'll never be satisfied in life.
Yes.
And you won't find your own happiness and peace.
True. Yeah. Checking in, like having that mission statement, having that vision, and checking in with it periodically, because it's just so obvious when we see the typical corporation just get completely out of control with wanting nothing but profit. We're like, did you forget who you were?
Yes, I agree. And I love that line right there.
That's your line.
I know. So that's why I love it. But anyway, we all get in a place sometimes, you know, where we get kind of stagnant, or we're trying to figure something out, or something went wrong at work, or something went wrong at home. And you're sitting there just feeling kind of down and downtrodden, and you're scratching your head. And then all of a sudden, something kicks in you. All of a sudden, you wake up and go, this ain't me. I must have forgot who I really am. And now that I remember, let me go handle this. And we all of us have that in us. You know, I always like to, sometimes I rephrase it. I have a thing I say, not today. I don't know if all men have this, but every woman has this in them. And I'm going to tell you this. It's a strength of women. There is not a woman, I don't believe, alive out here that doesn't have something just hits you that you've had enough. And all of a sudden, there's this thing that kind of boils up in you, and you just kind of snap, and you're like, you realize today ain't the day, not today. And that's that day that you tell that boss off, you tell that coworker off, or you just tell somebody, you sit down and I'm not taking any more. And all of a sudden, this person's like, this is some amount of, where did this come from? But I think it's in every, most people, but I know it's in every woman, that there's just that moment you sit there and you go, today is not the day. And I'm not going to take anymore. Because I think women have been mistreated at times and have taken a lot. You sometimes women will let stuff build up. That's why I know that it's in every woman, because it'll build up. And all of a sudden, the most meekest, mildest woman will be like, and when that happens, people go, uh-oh.
Not today.
Not, yep. I'll leave her alone for a while. Not today.
You probably have a rotating list of motivational phrases.
One of my favorites is success is my only option. Burn the boats, burn the bridges, there's no going back.
Damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead.
The same meaning is that, boom, there's no going back. Success is my only destination. I love the greatest line in an advertisement ever. And I think the world has embraced
it. Strap on your Nikes and just do it.
Just do it.
I'm looking at my Vince notes and quotes that I have written down that you have said during our Tuesday morning coffees. I love it when people pay me to learn. That was a Vince.
That is one of my favorite quotes. That's one of the great things when I became a consultant was people would ask me about different subject matters. And can you do this? And I'd be like, hey, I can figure it out and make it happen if you're paying me. You know, it's great to get paid to learn a new trade and a new skill so that I can then market that new skill. So, yeah, I love when people pay me to learn something new and I can take that skill and do something with it.
Do this one. Good enough. Go.
A lot of my clients and anybody you know in life, they have what I call paralysis of perfection. And that is, they cannot get out of their own way. They're trying to make something perfect. And in the meantime, they never actually get it going or go from planning to execution to success. So, you know, one statement that I come up with that I have to tell to a lot of my entrepreneurs starting their companies is they want the perfect pitch deck. They want the perfect projections. They keep saying and doing things that will slow down them getting their product out or getting to the next level. I say, look, get it good enough and go, and then get it good enough and go again when things change. Business plans and all that stuff, they're living documents. It's going to be constantly changing. So nothing's ever going to be perfect. You just got to get it good enough that at that moment you go, oh, this is the best we can do. And you do it the time and let's go move, and then we'll make adjustments later. This is really important for writers. Think about this. Get it good enough and go. You can always edit. You can always proofread. Somebody can always give you some notes. Get it good enough and go. Get it on paper and get enough substance in it that relays your message, and then you can tweak it. But if you never put any words on that paper, just like if you never finish this or finish that, you're never going to get there. So you have to do, and that's where, kind of goes into my first draft of skills of just get it out. Once I get it out, I can play with it.
I love it.
Oh, and one of my other statements here that I've talked to you about, Kathy, in your line of work as the multiple lines, voiceover, editing, writing, you name it, and running your own business is if you don't put a price on it, you'll never get a dime for it. And, you know, when you run your own business, if you don't put a price on it, it may be worth a cup of coffee. Yeah, but this is a $1 million idea. But it charged me $1 million for it and see if somebody will pay for it. If you have your own company or business, you have to understand that you have to develop your pricing, your worth, basically. You know, there's a famous story from Martha's Vineyard. Lady had a little boutique. She was going away for the weekend. She left a new intern or something. And she said, I need you to get these prices on these tags and on these clothes. The way she wrote it out on all the tags, the girl was mistaken. So something that was $8, the girl marked it as $80, and $80 was $100. It was like 10 times what she meant price of the clothes to be. But when she comes back, the clothes had sold almost out. And she saw this money. She goes, where does this money come from? She goes, well, I priced it based off of this. She goes, oh, you had the decimal point in the wrong place. She goes, oh, I'm sorry, but the clothes sold.
There you go.
Value is about perception, and it's not about genuine value. It's about perception and style and the perceived value that that brand has developed. So when you see that L and that V, you go, oh, that's a Louis Vuitton. They built their branding up so you have a perceived value more than what it could be worth.
Sure.
It's all about value is perceived. You have to create your own value and build your own brand.
Read this one. This one can save some lives. Go ahead.
Oh, this is very important to anybody. You know, first of all, if you don't have haters, you're not living. If nobody's out there hating on you, you're not doing enough.
Vince called his haters his motivators. He said, if they show enough interest to hate, I've already won.
When the haters come after me, that means they're also giving someone else a much needed break. When they come pick at me, that means at least somebody else got a break for a minute from these same haters. But if there's not somebody out there wondering what you're doing and how you're doing it, you're not doing enough. So you got to keep doing more until somebody decides, hey, you know, why is she doing all that? Why is she moving? Or why did she write a book? Why did she get a podcast? Now you've arrived when you got some haters.
That's awesome. You found my post, my content. You took enough time and energy to say something to me. That means I got your attention. One time you said, you have to do a lot of work to get ready to do a lot of work.
It's very true. It's very true.
That's true.
It's all in the preparation. It's all in the preparation.
Oh, here's our closer. Go for it.
Nobody can do you better than you can do you. And that's to remind yourself, nobody can do you better than you. And again, it goes back to be the best version of you. And nobody can do that better than you can.
This is awesome. Vince, thank you so much.
I appreciate you having me, Kathy, and I look forward to our next Tuesday morning session.
We solve the problems of the world.
Solving the problems of the world.
All right. See ya.
See ya.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Writer's Rotation. Like and subscribe for more. And remember, writing is a marketable skill. Smiling is a remarkable skill.